Father, we love you, Lord. Lord, you are so great. Lord, we lift you up. God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather together as your church, as your people, Lord. Lift up one voice. Lord, you are so great, Lord. Not just what you do for us, Lord. Not just what grace you pour out upon us, Lord. What you save us from, Lord, on a daily basis. The air that we breathe in and out, Lord. But who you are, Lord. You are a great God. Lord, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we pray that we would learn something new, something grand, something deeper about your presence this morning, Lord. Lord, that you would visit us in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Amen. This morning is a bit of a different service. It's one of celebration and in some sense of the word. We're going to be covering two chapters of the book of Revelation briefly, chapter 14 and 15, and it's a celebration. If you read 14 and 15, as we're going to be doing, it covers things like it introduces God's wrath. And so you might say, how could you celebrate something like that? It's a celebration because of what John shows us. See, Revelation chapter 14 and 15, there's a book end that he gives us. He sees these visions. He gives us these insights of what he sees in heaven in just 28 verses, 20 verses in chapter 14, 8 verses in chapter 15. He hears this thunderous noise, like rushing water, like peals of thunder. He hears worship. And it's bookended in chapter 14 and 15, and it's a new song. And you might think, surely he's hearing angels singing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week around the throne. Or he's hearing the living creatures, the four living creatures around the throne, or heavenly hosts of all kinds of array, just constantly singing as we've seen in glimpses of Revelation. No, actually what he's hearing is he's hearing our voices. He's hearing the worship of the redeemed. He's hearing you and I worshiping God for how great he is, worshiping the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the earth. In the midst of everything that is going on in the world today, but what John is seeing that will happen at the end of days when he pours out his wrath upon the world, he sees, he hears the worship, the voice of the redeemed like rushing waters. And there's a new song that is sung. So we're going to look at that throughout Scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament. When we hear of a new song being sung, we see it in the Psalms, among other places. We see it in Exodus 15, Moses singing a new song. We saw it in Revelation chapter 5, the Song of the Lamb. We'll be talking about that in a bit. They were new songs, and every time there's a new song sang by the redeemed, it's because of how great God is, about how we have been redeemed, how we've been rescued, how the rider has been swept into the sea, how God has once again showed up on our behalf, how great God is. And so we get a glimpse of that this morning, and as one voice, we get to hear what eternity is like. And it's more than just what eternity is. We have to realize that this song of the redeemed is our song. It's our song right now. It's the song right now that we're rehearsing. Every time we get together and sing, every time we come together where two or three are gathered in his name, not only is he in the midst of us, but when we sing, when we worship him, or we worship him in our decisions and or our lifestyle or with our giving, we are singing a new song. We are singing the song of the redeemed. That's why we're doing it. We're not doing it because culture tells us to do it. We're not doing it because church culture tells us to do it. We're doing it because we can't help ourselves. John is privy to something that the redeemed just can't help. They can't help but to sing a new song.
Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from the heaven, like the roar of a rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they remain virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Then they were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless.
No one could learn this song except the 144,000. We learned of the 144,000 in chapter 7. We won't go into that now. But again, 144,000, I believe, is not an actual number. If it was, then we are all on an overbooked flight. It's a number. It's a picture of those who are redeemed. We learned about that in chapter 7. It's a picture of those who are saved. And so who can learn this song? We have a picture that John just read. Not the John that wrote it. Our John. John Ramsey. Verse 16 again says that, verse 17, so that no one, I'm on the wrong chapter. Here we go. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Verse 4, these are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. I don't believe it means those who are virgins, and not just virgins, but male virgins. I believe that this too is a picture, just as the 144,000 are a picture. It is a spiritual picture of those who are monogamous, spiritually speaking, just as we see in 2 Corinthians 11:2. It says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. It has nothing to do with the physical. It has everything to do with the spiritual. What he's saying is those who can learn this new song. Again, I want to remind you, not just the song we sing in heaven, but this song that we're practicing even now. The song that we just can't help but to sing with our lives, even when our lives may be in shambles around us. This song that we can't help but to sing is to Christ, and it's those who can learn it, those who can sing it, are those who are sold out to Jesus Christ, who do not have another God before him. It goes on to say, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are followers of the Lamb. Or followers of Christ, Christ followers, Christians, that's what the word means. That's the very essence of who we are. If we're not following the Lamb, we are not Christians. It doesn't matter if we go to church, it doesn't matter if we tithe, it doesn't matter if we've memorized scripture or what we call ourselves. If we're not following the Lamb wherever we go, we're truly not Christians. We're not Christ followers. Those who can learn this new song are those who follow the Lamb. It says they were purchased from among men. This is what the redeemed means. He redeemed us. Just as if you go into a pawn shop and you need money and you pawn off of an item, whether it's a stereo or whatever it might be, and they give you money and they hand you a ticket, and if you're able to once again redeem that item, you give them back the ticket and you give them money, more money than what you gave them, and they give you back the item along with the ticket. You've redeemed that back. That's what Christ Jesus did for us by dying on the cross for our sins. He bought us back from among men. Or another way of putting it, which we will see in a moment, he separated us as first fruit in the harvest. We're going to see the harvest of the end times. And he has separated us from among men. He purchased us. He has bought us back. And he has offered us to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. Truth is in them. We who can learn this new song means truth is in us. Not just that we do not tell a lie. It's more than just being George Washington. I can't tell a lie, cut down the cherry tree. It's more than that. It's the Greek word for truth is aletheia. It's the manifestation of truth. It's the manifestation of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That we are actually walking out his words. That they're becoming a part of who we are. The truth is within us. We have not listened to the lie of the enemy. This 144,000 is compared to the last chapter. Those who took the mark of the beast. Those who listened to the lie of the enemy. Who can learn this song? The redeemed. Those who are purchased. You and I.
Then I saw another angel flying in midair. And he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth. To every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." A second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, which made all the nations drink a maddening wine of her adulteries." A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If you worship the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and its image, or for any who receives the mark of its name. This calls for patience, endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his name, his commands, and remain faithful to Jesus. When I heard a voice from heaven say, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "they will rest from their labor, their deeds will follow them." I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, "Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel, who had charge of the fire, came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, "Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe." The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the grapevine winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled into the winepress outside the city, and the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia.
This is the end time fulfillment of Jesus' parable of Matthew 13, the wheat and the tares. The end time fulfillment of the separation of the church and those who do not believe in him. The real meaning of this, the basic understanding, is that the wheat is that of the church, or the grain here in Revelation, and that of the grapes is those who do not follow him, who are not the church, not the followers of the Lamb. We will see in Revelation 19 when he sees Jesus return on his white horse, that we'll see he's wearing a robe and it's stained with blood at the ends of his robe. And the understanding is that he brings with him his wrath, and that the wine press of his anger is his wrath, the wrath of God. So the imagery that we have is that of grapes that are being pressed in a wine press, is the wrath that will be poured out. Meanwhile, we are separated out. We who have every reason to sing.
I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. Seven angels with seven last plagues. Last because with them God's wrath is complete. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass, glowing with fire and standing beside the sea. Those who had been victorious over the beast and its image and over the number of its name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb.
John mentioned that they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. The song that the worship team just sang was verse 3 and 4 of Revelation 15. And if you look in Exodus 15, that's the song of Moses and Miriam. And if you look at Revelation chapter 5, that is the song of the Lamb. And it's not the same song. What he's referring to is, in both cases, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb were new songs. They were new songs because of the victory, because of the absolute overcoming triumph that they felt in God. They could not help but to sing. In Moses' case, if you remember the song, it's a bit lengthy. The song was, they just came out of the Red Sea and they saw Pharaoh's army be swallowed by the Red Sea. And some of the words were things like, the horse and its rider were overthrown. And they're talking about how they have been overcome. They were able to go through the Red Sea. And you have overcome our enemies. You always take care of us, God. In Revelation chapter 5, we see the song of the Lamb, it's called here, was when God was sitting on the throne. And he has a scroll in his hands. And John begins to weep because nobody could open up the scroll because it had seven seals. Who can open up the scroll? The Lamb of God can. The Lamb of God who was slain was able to. And he was overwhelmed, as was all of the heavenly hosts. And they sang in heaven this new song unto the Lamb because he alone was able to open up the seals. Here again in Revelation chapter 15. He is about to send out the seven angels with the seven bowls of wrath and just overcome. We are the redeemed. We don't have to go through the wrath of God. We're the redeemed and we sing. This is our song. Here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Praise is the rehearsal of our eternal song. By grace we learn to sing, and in glory we continue to sing. Again, I reiterate, we sing together as a church every Sunday, in life groups, whenever we come together, when we turn on the radio and we sing with a worship team maybe halfway around the world. We're singing what we will be singing for eternity. Yet there'll be new songs. This song already has been recorded in heaven. It has been recorded in Scripture. Our worship team just sort of kind of recorded it as well. There'll be new songs. There will be continually new songs on our lips, as there is every day when Jesus comes through for us. More importantly, because of who Jesus is.
After this I looked, and I saw in heaven the temple, that is, the tabernacle of the covenant law, and it was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chest. Then one of the four creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and his power, from all his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed.
King of our God. Lord, we know it's true. You are great, great and mighty, great beyond all comparison, all belief, all imagination. You are our great God.
Oh,
Father, I pray that you would teach us a new song, Lord. Lord, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our troubles, Lord, in hard weeks, in easy weeks, Lord, in times of plenty and times of great lack, Lord, you would teach us a new song. You would put a song on our lips, Lord. We would glorify you, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. Lord, that you would restore unto us the joy of our salvation. God, and that would be our strength. Lord, I pray that you would move upon your people this week. Lord, that we would get a glimpse of eternity, Lord, and we would push aside this temporal understanding that we have, this temporal thing that we hold on to so desperately, Lord. Give us a new song, Lord. Thank you, God, that we are redeemed. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room, Lord, that is not bought, purchased by your blood, Lord, that you would move upon their hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. You would convict them. You would move upon them, Lord, that they would get right with you in Jesus' name. Lord, move in our lives this week, Lord, with your joy, with your peace, with your love, with a new song. In Jesus' name we pray.